This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Fuel finally flowing. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Thursday, May 13th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Colonial Pipeline says it has restarted delivery operations after its vast network serving the East Coast was shut down by a cyber attack.
The CDC is recommending the Pfizer COVID vaccine for kids ages 12 to 15.
Stocks are on a three-day losing streak. A rise in consumer prices has highlighted inflation concerns.
And how hard is it to prove conspiracy charges against people arrested for the January riot at the U.S. Capitol?
Among the things that they did was the Oath Keepers had training sessions. They set up meetings on encrypted apps. This is all according to the indictments and the FBI affidavits that are filed in the cases.
Bart Jansen at USA Today on the difficult terrain facing prosecutors. Colonial Pipeline says it's restarting operations following last week's cyber attack that forced the shutdown of the main fuel delivery network that serves the East Coast. The company says it began a restart at 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon, but cautioned that the process of fully restoring flow could take days. The shutdown of the 5,500-mile pipeline network spurred a run on gasoline in the southeastern and mid-Atlantic regions. GasBuddy.com says of yesterday afternoon, 68% of the gas stations in North Carolina were out of fuel. In Virginia, Georgia, and South Carolina, 45% had run dry. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp.
My main message to Georgians today is that the most effective way to address the fuel shortages we're experiencing is for everyone to remain calm and only get the fuel you need to carry out essential activities.
Colonial Pipeline operates a series of pipes that carry 100 million gallons of fuel a day from Texas to New Jersey, an estimated 45% of the fuel consumed on the East Coast. Overseas, the Israeli military says it killed 14 senior commanders of Hamas, the terrorist group operating in Gaza. Palestinian officials say the Israeli air campaign has killed 65 people since Monday. Six Israelis have died in a barrage of Hamas rocket launches that began Monday evening. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal says a wave of communal clashes between Jewish and Arab Israelis has spread within the country's borders. Arab Israelis are the descendants of Palestinians who remained in Israel after the 1948 war that established the country. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said yesterday he's dispatching a top official to Israel to try to encourage mediation efforts.
We strongly condemn the rocket attacks coming out of Gaza that are targeting innocent Israeli civilians. And Israel has a right to defend itself.
Since Monday, Israel has struck over 500 targets in Gaza. Some of last night's targets were the homes of senior Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad officials. As expected, Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney has been ousted as chair of the GOP conference. Ms. Cheney, daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney, has clashed with senior Republicans by pushing back aggressively and publicly on President Trump's claims that the 2020 election had been stolen from him. Ms. Cheney was unapologetic following the vote.
The party is in a place that we've got to bring it back from, and we've got to get back to a position where we are a party that can fight for conservative principles, that can fight for substance. We cannot be dragged backward by the very dangerous lies of a former president.
House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy.
Inside this conference, to do the conference chair job is about the messaging going forward. This has nothing to do about how somebody voted. This has nothing to do about they voted for impeachment or not. That would have been decided the last time. This is simply who's best at delivering the message. That's all.
Ms. Cheney was one of 10 Republicans who voted to impeach Mr. Trump in January for inciting insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Coming up next, how vulnerable our infrastructure is to hacking. It's Small Business Month, and Dell Technologies and Windows are celebrating your unstoppable drive. Save up to 45% on powerful PCs with Windows 10 Pro to work from anywhere. Plus, top monitors and docks for the ultimate business setup, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right business tech, server, storage, and cloud solutions at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL for Small Business Month savings. It's time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. When you're hiring, there's no luxury of time. So instead of waiting for people to see your sponsored post, invite them to apply. More at Indeed.com/credit. Can the government and or the private sector do a better job in protecting the country from cyber attacks like the one that forced the shutdown of the Colonial Pipeline Network that delivers fuel to many eastern states? In-depth analysis from John Fenton, CEO of Patriot Rail and Ports, an operator of rail and port logistics. John, what was your initial reaction to the breach at Colonial?
Well, the initial reaction is, I think it's just a reminder to everybody who works in the supply chain that the attacks and the things that are being done by a lot of bad people. And, you know, I think people have potentially a misunderstanding that these are not people in their basements. These are professional people, and it's just a constant reminder of the vigilance you have in protecting your cybersecurity is right at the forefront if you're operating any company in today's world.
I mean, this is happening by these bad actors 24/7, right? I mean, there's no sleeping on this.
Your network is being probed daily, and that's where you have to have a very, very robust approach to maintaining your security. And I mean, as you can see, large companies, the federal government, any companies are open to this. I mean, you have to have a very robust program to be able to mitigate, and you're constantly learning. You have to take this as something. There is no end to this. These guys are evolving. You have to evolve. You have to be able to utilize all the resources that are available to you to be able to combat this. And you have to have learning. You have to learn from what happens with all these companies. And so this is a real threat to our infrastructure, our assets, and to any of our companies that provide key services.
Do we have weak infrastructure protection versus cyber attacks?
I don't know if I would consider it weak. I think that it's always evolving. And I think that it is a battle of wits, and it's they're constantly evolving and getting smarter and better and changing, and you have to evolve with that. I mean, I think that at any point in time, you're constantly you should have a nervous edge in your corporation that yes, you are under attack, and people are evolving, and you have to make it a high priority. And even with that, you can see that sometimes things happen, and I'm not saying that there was a weakness. I'm saying that maybe, again, they've got a different strategy, and they knew where to attack, and you have to have a very robust program, and it's never-ending.
Yeah. We're speaking with John Fenton, CEO of Patriot Rail and Ports, operator of rail and port logistics, and we're talking about protecting pipelines and other infrastructure from cyber attack. Would you like to see the government do more, since I'm not sure whatever it's doing is working, or is this something that's just best left to the private sector?
Well, you know, the one group that I think is great is CISA, which is the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. They are a great resource. And, you know, again, I think this is a learning for leveraging all of the resources that are out there. And, you know, there's a robust program with the Departments of Homeland Security and Transportation. I think that we're all doing what we need to do to try to stay current and combat this. And, you know, again, you see that it's on the rise. I mean, this is continuing. You see the attacks that are more frequent. And to have all these key resources working together and collaborating, I think we're good about that. I mean, again, we've had really good support from CISA, and we've learned a lot, and we stay very engaged with Homeland Security and to make sure that we're current. And I think, quite frankly, we're doing at this point as much as we can. And is there a better way? I think that every time you have an event, you have to learn from it and see if you have gaps and do a self-analysis and see if there are some things that you should improve. And that's the way it evolves. I mean, we're all trying to fight this. And when you're fighting a common enemy, I think that the collaboration is good. Could it be better? I think there is, again, I go back to, you should always be looking at how you can improve and learn from what happens.
Thanks, John. John Fenton, CEO of Patriot Rail and Ports. 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden has signed an executive order meant to strengthen U.S. cybersecurity defenses in response to a series of hacking incidents. The order will require all federal agencies to use measures such as multi-factor authentication and require new security standards for software makers that contract with the federal government. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
We are working at the direction of the president in an all-of-government way to address the cybersecurity threat that Colonial Pipeline suffered and that other businesses and institutions across our country are vulnerable to.
Number two.
The owner of the Colonial Pipeline has begun restarting operations on a line that connects Texas to New Jersey, but the process of fully restoring the flow of fuel could take days. EPA Administrator Michael Regan.
Folks should follow the advice of the governors and the attorney generals, which they're asking folks not to panic, not to hoard gasoline, and to watch for the updates that are coming from the federal government.
Number three.
In the worst flare-up of violence in 7 years, Israel launched hundreds of airstrikes and Palestinian militants fired hundreds of missiles so far this week, killing more than 70 people and injuring hundreds more amid rising fears the conflict could spiral into an all-out war. What started as a week of tense clashes in Jerusalem have escalated into an aerial conflict and violent unrest on the streets of mixed Arab-Israeli towns. A House hearing about what went wrong in the January 6th Capitol siege frequently spiraled into partisan shouting matches yesterday, with lawmakers more often blaming each other than thoroughly questioning witnesses. Former Acting Defense Secretary Christopher Miller defended his effort, saying he was concerned about the military involving itself in election disputes.
These concerns and hysteria about them nonetheless factored into my decisions regarding the appropriate and limited use of our armed forces to support civilian law enforcement during Electoral College certification.
Five people died. Guitars from Eddie Van Halen, Eric Clapton, and Aerosmith, as well as autographed memorabilia from the Beatles and even strands of hair from Kurt Cobain are some of the highlights of an online auction that ends this weekend. Six strands of blonde hair from the grunge rock icon, part of a series of Nirvana offerings. The hair was cut by a friend in 1989. The minimum bid, $2,500.
Okay.
I don't know what you do with it.
I don't know either. I know I display a guitar from Eddie Van Halen or Clapton.
You don't want his hair, though.
I'll pass on the hair. Right. Thanks, Jen. Coming up next, headphone hearing loss in kids.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Here's another unforeseen issue potentially caused by the pandemic. Noise-induced hearing loss is on the rise among young people. Some audiologists say they suspect the problem has only gotten worse during the pandemic when kids have been glued to their devices for school, entertainment, and social connection. More from Julie Jargon, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Julie, what do we know?
Well, what we know is that more and more children and adolescents are having permanent hearing damage. And it comes from excessive noise exposure, which could be a lot of things. But the World Health Organization found that nearly half of all people between the ages of 12 and 35 in higher income countries are listening to personal audio devices at unsafe sound levels.
All right, so that includes, what, AirPods, earbuds, traditional headphones?
Exactly, all of the above. And I've also talked to a lot of audiologists who say they're seeing younger and younger patients that have, early signs of hearing loss, ringing in their ears, other issues with, understanding speech from other people and noisy environments, and they suspect, but they can't prove, but they suspect that it has a lot to do with kids wearing earbuds and headphones at unsafe volumes.
Okay, so there are settings that can be adjusted aside from, say, the simple volume buttons, correct?
There are. You know, a lot of kids will crank up the volume to override any background noise or just because they like to hear things at louder volumes. And so there are definitely ways to reduce the sound for kids. And you can do it in a number of ways. You can either get some volume-limiting headphones. There are some over-the-ear headphone makers that have products aimed at children, and that limits the volume cap at 85 decibel levels, or allows parents to adjust the volume for different environments. You can also get noise-canceling earbuds or headphones, and what that does is, kids are less likely to increase the volume if they're, not hearing all of the background noise behind them. Mm. And then also the devices, some of the devices themselves, Apple products in particular, have a lot of different settings where people can go in and limit the sound volume that's coming through the device itself.
We're speaking with Julie Jargon, columnist at The Wall Street Journal, and she's written a piece entitled How to Protect Kids' Ears from Headphone-Related Hearing Loss. Explain the 80-90 rule that you wrote about.
Yeah, a few people told me about this rule, which basically says that children can listen to their devices at 80% of the maximum volume for 90 minutes a day.
Thanks, Julie. Julie Jargon, columnist at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
This is America's First News, preparing you for the day ahead with headlines and in-depth analysis. This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, May 13. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Colonial Pipeline has restarted operations, but full service could take days. The Pfizer vaccine recommended for 12 to 15-year-olds. Liz Cheney out as chair of the House GOP conference. Inflation concerns sent stocks lower again. On infrastructure negotiations, Republicans say an increase in corporate taxes is a non-starter. Ellen DeGeneres ending her daytime TV talk show next year. Ratings have fallen sharply after allegations of a toxic workplace. And the competition for Nebraska tourism stamps. That story in about 20 minutes. Two former senior Trump administration officials are defending their efforts to help secure the Capitol during the riot by pro-Trump supporters 4 months ago, former acting Defense Secretary Christopher Miller.
I fervently believe the military should not be utilized in such scenarios other than as a last resort and only when all other assets have been expended.
Meanwhile, at this point, 31 people are charged with conspiracy in the January 6th Capitol riot. Conspiracy for courts depends on suspects agreeing to take criminal action. The conspiracy charges link defendants in groups that planned and participated in operations to interfere with Congress counting electoral college votes that formalized President Biden's victory as rioters stormed past barricades, smashed windows, and rammed doors to enter the Capitol. More from Bart Janssen, congressional reporter at USA Today. Bart, explain.
Conspiracy is sort of a loaded term. I mean, it sounds like something very serious, like that there's a group of people doing a bad thing. And so I thought I'd take a closer look at just what the conspiracy charges meant in this case, and was hoping that it might explain, some of the planning and some of the organization that went into what we saw unfold at the Capitol on January 6th. So I found that there were 31 cases of conspiracy charged so far out of more than 430, and try to explain a little about them.
All right. So how about some of that planning and organization that took place? What are we hearing at this point?
Well, what I found was that 29 of the cases involved members or people who traveled with members of either the Oath Keepers, which is primarily a group of retired military or law enforcement, or the Proud Boys, sort of a Western white chauvinist organization. And so they, among the things that they did was The Oath Keepers had training sessions. They set up meetings on encrypted apps. This is all according to the indictments and the FBI affidavits that are filed in the cases. So, you know, they still may be able to challenge some of these descriptions. But, you know, planned ahead, planned travel, raised money to jointly go to Washington, and then discussed what weapons they could bring, not firearms, but perhaps mace and batons, clubs. And so there appears to be a lot of planning that went in the 2 months before the riot, between the election and the riot. And so then the question is, did that planning actually yield criminal activity on the day of January 6th?
All right. Also, as you mentioned, the equipment they had came up.
Yeah, they, you know, a lot of the Oath Keepers wore military-style garb, you know, helmets, reinforced vests. Others, part of the conspiracy was that they were traveling without the typical, the Proud Boys were traveling without their typical black and yellow shirts to go more incognito, to use encrypted apps to communicate. And so on one side you have this sort of very obvious militaristic appearance, and they entered the building in a what the authorities called a stack formation, where you got one arm on the shoulder of the person in front of you to go in sort of a joint movement to not get separated. But in the other side, traveling under the radar and trying to be perhaps secretive about what they were trying to accomplish.
Well, we're speaking with Bart Janssen, congressional reporter at USA Today. His story is called Capitol Riot Spurred Conspiracy Charge Against 31 Suspects, But How Hard Is It to Prove? So how about building that conspiracy case, Bart? What are prosecutors trying to show?
That's right. I talked to former federal prosecutors and also a former chief of police, and what they say is that for a basic conspiracy charge, what you need to show is that there's planning beforehand by two or more people, and that then at least one of those people went on to do additional acts that were illegal. So that if you, in one of these, there are seven different conspiracy cases. One of them involves a dozen people. Others involve as few as two people. You know, you show what did they talk about ahead of time? Did they bring supplies ahead of time? How much planning and organization was there ahead of time? And then if you can show that even one of them did an illegal thing at the scene, then the authorities say that you could lace them all together into the same conspiracy.
Wow. Any history demonstrating what we might see as this case or these cases begin to unfold?
Well, one of the things that we'll have to watch is that authorities, the prosecutors and police, tell me that you know that typically you would charge these perhaps lower level people and see if they will provide more information about people that might have been doing more to organize and plan the events.
Thanks, Bart. Bart Janssen, congressional reporter at USA Today. Coming up next, proof that dogs can be excellent wingmen.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it may come as no surprise that people put a lot of trust in their pets, and that goes for picking a mate. A recent survey suggests that pet owners in America trust their pet's judgment when trying to date someone, even more than friends and family. 2,000 people were polled, and according to the results, 68% said that their pet has the final say in their dating partners. Similarly, 68% said they trust their pets more than they trust their friends, and 67% 87% said they trust their pets more than their family.
Jeez.
Pets apparently also make good wingmen. About two-thirds of the respondents claim that their pet helped them score a first date, but the results also showed that if the first meeting between a pet and a potential romantic partner didn't go well, there probably won't be a second date.
Yeah.
Also, being rude to a pet was considered to be unforgivable, an unforgivable act by 64% of respondents, and they also agreed that they found it to be worse when their pet was mad at them than if they angered a boyfriend or a girlfriend.
Yeah, well, I think this, speaking from experience, I think this largely applies to dogs.
I guess so.
If you, for example, are a guest in someone's home,
right,
and the first thing you do is like drop to a squatted position to greet the dog,
yes,
who has expressed interest in you by wagging his tail,
right,
you're gold.
Yeah,
if you're gold.
Yeah, if you ignore the dog or just pretend it's not there, or worse yet, shoo it away or something like that.
Oh my goodness,
that's going to be a problem in the deal house.
When my daughter's boyfriend, I think, first entered our house,
yes,
as a dog guy himself, mm-hmm, he immediately reached out his hands.
Right.
Like to greet the dogs.
Yeah,
we're so like, all right, he's in.
He's in.
He's in.
No matter what.
Yep. Yeah. You want to sign off on marriage now? You're good.
He's a keeper.
You're part of the family.
And while we're researching weird things, how about this one? A new study suggests that pink-colored drinks can help make you run faster and further compared to clear drinks. Researchers at the University of Westminster in the UK found that a pink drink can increase exercise performance by 4.4% and can also increase a feel-good effect, which can make exercise seem easier. The study was done by giving participants drinks while exercising that tasted exactly the same, but one was clear and the other was colored pink with food dye. The researchers chose pink because it's associated with perceived sweetness and therefore increases expectations of sugar and carbohydrate intake.
Oh, messing with our mind.
Yeah. How about that? I mean, look, anything we can get at this point to help us, I'll take it.
And a 4.4%, that was the improved increase.
I guess for us, that doesn't really matter.
That's
for maybe elite athletes,
yes,
that might make a difference.
Right.
If you're running like the 100-meter dash at the Olympics or something, for us, you know, next to, you know, 30 seconds off of our mile time or whatever, you know, not a big deal.
Right. You could it's also in the presentation. Like if there were two clear drinks and I was your coach and I said, Mike, just take two gulps of this right before the race. Like, yeah, that would probably work too. Power of suggestion. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
It's Small Business Month, and Dell Technologies and Windows are celebrating your unstoppable drive. Save up to 45% on powerful PCs with Windows 10 Pro to work from anywhere, plus top monitors and docks for the ultimate business setup, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right business tech, server, storage, and cloud solutions at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL for Small Business Month savings.
Glad you could be with us. Research indicates that this will be the summer of revenge travel. A survey from Charles Schwab found that traveling was the top item on people's spending lists, with 40% citing it as something they want to do. With that backdrop, MarketWatch put together ways to save on your post-pandemic getaways. Number one, book sooner rather than later. While last-minute deals can arise, they're not guaranteed. You can still get, for example, from the U.S. to Greece round trip for $560. Number two, be aware that credit card points and airline miles could soon lose value because so many people are sitting on unused points and miles. Number three, do your trip planning in reverse. First, see which flights are cheapest out of your local airport, then figure out which destination seems the most appealing, then figure out when you'll travel. You can use tools like Skyscanner and Google to help with that. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Colonial Pipeline has returned to operations following a cyber attack that has snarled gas supply in the southeast for days. Colonial says it will take several days for the product delivery supply chain to return to normal. In the meantime, the EPA has issued an emergency fuel waiver that allows 12 states to sell gasoline that normally would not be allowed due to ozone pollution regulations. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp.
While we do not believe the winter fuel mix will be enough to completely fix the shortages we're currently seeing, we are optimistic it will help increase supply in the short term.
The waiver is in place until May 31st.
Number two.
President Biden has signed an executive order aimed at shoring up the nation's defenses against electronic hacking. It requires all federal agencies to use basic cybersecurity measures that are already corporate online staples. The order will also require new security standards for software makers that do business with the federal government.
Number three.
Following a vote to remove Congresswoman Liz Cheney from her position as GOP conference chair, Republicans will hold a forum for her potential replacements, with the frontrunner being New York's Elise Stefanik. Cheney says she's not going away.
I will do everything I can to ensure that the former president never again gets anywhere near the Oval Office.
Lawmakers plan to hold a meeting tomorrow to determine who will take Cheney's place. With the violence escalating in Israel, some U.S. airlines are canceling flights there. United Airlines has canceled flights from Chicago, Newark, and San Francisco to Israel through Saturday. United and Delta are also canceling flights from New York to Tel Aviv. Ready for some football? NFL fans are. The league has released its fall schedule, which will include an additional week of regular season games. In order to keep an equal number of doubleheaders between CBS and Fox, the league has decided to make week one a doubleheader for both networks, which is also what it does on the final week. And you might want to circle this one. Week four, Tom Brady returns to New England as quarterback of the Buccaneers to take on his old team, the Patriots.
Wonder what kind of reception he'll get. It'll be a good one. Coming up next, Nebraska's clever tourism program. When you start a small business, you do it because it's something that you love. And when it's successful, that's great. But it brings new challenges you might not have thought of, mainly HR. HR compliance issues can cause complex problems that, let's face it, you don't have time for. And it's got to be done right or it could destroy your business. Bambee, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small businesses. Get a dedicated HR manager available by phone, email, or real-time chat to craft HR policy and maintain your compliance, all for just $99 a month. And there's no risk. It's month-to-month with no hidden fees. Cancel anytime. Bambee's dedicated HR managers will know your business and your specific concerns no matter what state you're in. With Bambee, you'll have peace of mind and never worry about HR compliance again. Go to Bambee.com/Gordon right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambee.com/Gordon, spelled BAM to the B-E-E .com/Gordon. Hey, glad you're with us. Nebraska has a state tourism program that's stoked a competitive fervor among its residents. Travelers hold Nebraska passport books. They get stamped at stops scattered across the state, ranging from one of the world's largest covered porch swings to a church made from baled straw. Nebraska's passport program, now in its 12th year, has included Carhenge, just outside the city of Alliance, which is a sculpture made from old cars and trucks welded together in the shape of England's Stonehenge. Nebraska passport participation actually grew during the pandemic to a record 1,185 champions in 2020, from 914 the previous year, as locals stayed close to home. New stops this year include the nearly century-old Meridian Bridge that provides foot access across the Missouri River to South Dakota. In all, 304 Nebraska businesses applied to be considered passport stops this year. The 70 winners are picked on the basis of variety and uniqueness and cannot have participated in the previous 3 or 4 years. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.